yourself. Pretty much the main theme of the passage here, and especially chapter 5, verse 18, be filled with God, be filled with the Spirit, don't be filled with yourself, or don't be drunk with wine, something in creation that's going to control you. As a child, when somebody said, oh, there goes Bob, he's full of himself, that they were trying to say, I certainly wasn't thinking about the Lord, I was being selfish, or I was caught up only in my own little world. Okay. And if we're not full of God, if we're not full of His Spirit, we'll be full of ourselves, self-absorbed. And that'll lead to unsatisfaction or destruction, dissatisfaction. Someone said, you can't fill yourself with yourself. And many a person who had a problem with pride, either extreme pride or extreme introversion, couldn't fill themselves with themselves, because your heart wasn't created just to be filled just with you. It's created to be filled with God. So He offers Himself to us. And it's a wonderful continuous command. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on doing that. Have that goal for your life. Moment by moment, you're kept in His love. Moment by moment, there's life from above. That's what the hymn says. So you ask God to fill you with Himself, with the Spirit. Jesus said, you know how to give good gifts to your young ones. You know, we have selfishness and sin problems, but we know how to give a good gift to someone we really love. How much more will our Father in heaven, who really loves us, give us Himself, that is, give us His Holy Spirit, if we ask Him? Lord, be the center of my thinking, actions, attitudes. God desires this, and we can have it come to pass. Someone said the Holy Spirit, who is God, would want to take control of our lives. In fact, you're not in control of your life until God is in control of your life. There are certain things we try to have everything be just so. Get the ducks lined up. You know, we think we are management supermen. Okay, like Nietzsche. He tried to do that in his own mind and he eliminated God. In our own souls or in our relationships, in our walk with God, we won't be in control of our life unless God is. Take even our prayer life. You might say, well, I'm going to improve my prayer life. More time, more zeal, more of me. Let God lead. Unless He's in control of your relationship with Him, you never are in control of your relationship with Him. You don't want to be. You want to yield to Him. And so, very much a passage of surrender, so that the life of Christ can be known by us and we not be hammered by all kinds of sins that are mentioned here in the passage. In the book of Acts, the phrase, be filled with His Spirit, or the followers were filled with His Spirit, are mentioned about 10 times if you take the book of Acts. I think it's in chapters 2 through 13. So you run through those and you look for the passages that say, and they were filled with the Spirit. And there was one common denominator in every instance when believers were filled with the Spirit. The Bible says they began to give testimony about Jesus. So all of a sudden, when they were filled with God, Jesus was front and center of their thoughts and their actions. And it very much honored God. And so it happened, for example, to Peter, to some deacons, to Stephen, to Paul, to Barnabas, to the Christians at Antioch. And in Acts chapter 2, it happened to all the people in the upper room. And they went out and they start telling the gospel in a language that the people in their own tongue could hear. It was fantastic. So you might say, what change will take place in me if I'm filled with God? Jesus will become really, really wonderful to you. And you will want to promote Him in every way possible. In Ephesians chapter 5 here, Paul starts off with the phrase, be imitators of God. And someone said, well, imitation is the highest form of admiration, or flattery, you might say. But in this case, imitation is a high form of discipleship. We think, we know the way God is. Lord, can you share those character traits with us? Sometimes in a bad quest for imitating God, we just want God's power without God's compassionate character. For example, if I said, I want to be more like Christ, and next week I'm walking on the water, I'm turning the water into wine, and I am taking two fish and five loaves, and I'm feeding a bunch of guys. Okay? You'd say, well, that's good. Well, are you going to be any different? How's your soul going to be? Are you going to treat your wife better? Are you going to be a better dad? Are you going to be more hungry to serve others? That is being an imitator of God that the Lord would like to share with us. And so to look at the whole passage from being an imitator of God to being filled with the Spirit, serving one another, as a chance to yield our lives to Christ. Because if Jesus is not the center of this passage, then all these do's and don'ts that we see in the passage are just more rules that we could never keep. It's just more, you know, more of the law that shows us how bad off we are without Christ. But the passage shows us that God is more powerful than our sin, and He is the answer to our problems. I'm going to use a screen here and make a couple comments about the sins mentioned in the passage. First thing we have to realize is this, both as a group of people and as an individual Christian, I think this quote is fantastically true. The church is an anvil that has worn out many a hammer. Okay, so you look at the Ephesian church, persecuted, difficulties. You look at any group of Christians today, whether they're under attack, or whether they have apostasy, bad belief within, or whether they are apathetic. That's the worst thing that'll be hammering on you, you know. What you're doing is not important. That'll bring apathy. But the church is an anvil that has worn out many a hammer. You think it would have attacked the church for 2,000 years? It's throughout the earth, it's growing more than ever. Christ is being honored in a great way. So whatever sin, for example, take it down to your own level, whatever sin is in your life that's hammering you away, if you remember who Christ is, that's not going to beat the Lord. That's going to get wiped out through His good Holy Spirit if you would yield to Him. So remember that when you face these sins that's going to be listed up here, there's many a hammer coming at you, but they will be worn out by the Lord's good graces. So I want you to take heart and know that these sins are common to man, and it'll show us that the Christian is not sinless, but we do sin less and less and less and have Christ more and more and more. So here's what Christ overcomes in the passage. You know, there's a bunch of muck and mire, for sure, both in behavior and in the soul right there. Christ overcomes these, Christ in His love. And it's been said that love for God and love for people is the cure of many a sin. And I've seen that at work in many people's lives. Greed, for example, you say, I can't help it, I feel like I need more. Well, that's pretty much the root of you're not thankful to God for what you have. You feel like He's going to let you down. So you gotta hoard. You know, you become greedy, a lover of money. Somebody says, you can love money, but money will never love you back. Many people have tried that. Look at our nation as a whole, which is a reflection of you and me and, you know, everybody that we know. Our nation as a whole, our whole economic system is shaking a bit because we just said, let's spend more, but don't get it out of me. You know, don't ask me for any more, but please give me more. To me, that sounds like greed. I was watching a program. It's going to be replayed on tonight. watching it early, as we all woke up an hour earlier, and on 9 o'clock on CTV. But a bunch of intelligent people who have looked at the economy have pretty much came to this conclusion in terms of the greed thing. In 6 years, if our nation keeps doing what we're doing, our numbers will look exactly like the country of Greece. You know, the country of Greece, where about 20% of people walking around no work, saying, you know, who's going to give me this, and who's going to take care of that? And the only response to that scenario is one of two things. Now, you could picture down to individual level. Let's say I'm $10 million in debt as a person. Slight exaggeration. Okay. Say I'm $10 million in debt. And you come and tell me, you say, "Bought, you know what, for your good, you're going to either have to stop spending so much or you're going to have to start paying back what you owe." And I say, no. I'm not ready for that. How about if I spend just $200,000 more this year than I make? Is that okay? Would you call that progress? No, you'd say, "Bob, you are sick. You need to check. You don't understand the gravity of the problem." Okay? So when the math tells you and me, for example, under the problem of greed, hey, you're either going to have to get less or you're going to have to give more. Now, which one is it? How many vote to get less? Raise your hand. All of us should raise our hand. How many vote to give more? Raise your hand. Come on. You're going to be like me with my $10 million debt. This is not a trick. This is reality over here. Okay? We say before God, we're going to be a steward of what He gave us. We're going to be thankful for what we have. We're going to give more. $15 trillion, not 10, my measly $10 million. We're going to have to give more, and we're going to have to spend less, or get less. And Lord, whatever austerity means, I want to learn it. So that's the only way out of the hole. So you say to God, "Lord, in my own individual life and in following you, don't let greed overcome Christ's love. Let Christ's love overcome greed." You can look at any other area. All attempts to exalt a certain part of creation over God Himself. Immorality, pornography. It's a growing problem among the culture and God's people. Joe Toomey mentioned Friday, it's probably 50% of, you know, any experience of people, you're going to fall into the first two categories there. Immoral in behavior or not loving people around them, loving images instead. Those are symptomatic sins of a heart problem that didn't love God and didn't love people. If you don't love the people around you, where do you think you're going to go? I'm going to the casino, and I'm going to the brothel, and I'm going to the internet. If I don't love the people around me, where else am I going to go? I'm going to love something. Either love what's precious to God, or you take what's precious to God and run it through the mud. So the Lord can, His love can turn the corner for your heart or your behavior that's against Him. And you see Christ is more powerful than those things, more powerful than the sins of the tongue. James Boyce, who was a genius pastor at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, is with Christ now, made this comment, however, as you think of the sins that happen when you're not filled with His Spirit. He said this. You don't have to agree with it. You could just think about it. Sins of the body are never so great, destructive, and demonic as sins of the Spirit. I put this up here to give you a chance to honor Christ in terms of what He could deal with in your soul. If you are greedy, you know, and you're just concerned about, well, I can have two apple pies tomorrow and I'll be fine. Or drunkenness or immorality. Those are very destructive. You're basically tearing down the temple of the Holy Spirit. But what's also very destructive are sins of the Spirit, more internal things that Paul mentions both in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. For example, look at this list here. First three are really sins of the body. I have to drink a lot or whatever the case may be. The immoral thing, the vulgarity thing, they're pretty much outward behaviors. You know, they're symptomatic of a heart problem. Look at the second group of sins. They're more sins of a spirit. Divisive gossip, self-righteous legalism. Okay, that's a whole way of thinking for years. Unforgiving bitterness, that's held subtly. I can be the last three this morning and you'd never know it. Those are subtle sins that would be destroying my spirit. If I came in with the first three and you were trying to help me, you could pretty much help me pretty readily. Hold me accountable. You know, you tell me stay away from this, that, and the other. They're relatively simple sins to repent from. Sins of the body. Many a Christian get kicked out of the church for the first three. The last three are more unknown, insidious, deadly, like the serpent, silent. But that will drag you down as much, or James Boyce says, more so. And what is the cure for those things that would be, you know, be in our soul? He attacked them in the Ephesian church. He would say, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Live a life of love and be filled with His Spirit and serve one another. So just what God can do with the onslaught of real sin in our souls and in our nation. Powerful repentance that He could give. He brings the gift of Himself, and then we start to obey Him. A life filled with the Spirit is a life of praise, thanks, and service. I have praise, thanks, and service. I don't have time for any of that other garbage that, you know, I can fill my life up just in a day with. Praise, thanks, and service. Let's talk about those in closing. In terms of praise, King David praised the Lord with his heart and soul and mind and life, wrote almost 80 psalms. And you in your life, think of your life as a praise to God. Have a song in your heart to Him. That's a great indication that you're yielding to Him. You're filled with Him. And by the way, when the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, David wanted that. He prayed, for example, what the choir sang. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Some people would say this, and you take whatever God tells you. Die to self to be filled with the Spirit. And others would say, be filled with the Spirit so you could die to self. You know what? I don't think God cares what order you do it in. I think He cares about whether you do that. He really does. So say, Lord, I need You. That's the response. Don't try to make it a complicated, you know, thing that only super spiritual people are filled with the Spirit. That's not what the Bible says. It's a walk for everybody. Paul calls it a walk. One step at a time. A life of praise and then a life of thanks. There's a pastor named Kent Hughes who, God's Word says, speak to each other in psalms and hymns. That's the praise. And give thanks to the Lord. Kent Hughes is visiting a town and he, talk to another believer. Now, this believer, living a simple life, he has a very small old house. He has an old jalopy car. And he goes to a church that rents out a building. And they gather and, you know, are close to God. And so Ken Hughes is talking to this guy. And the man says, I am so thankful. God is so good to me. I have a wife to love, a church to serve, and fresh air 365 days a year. That's his mentality. And then Ken Hughes walks away from him thinking, this guy's filled with God. He's full of praise. He's full of thanks. And he wants to help other people. I mean, can you get any more Christ-like than that? That's what the Lord offers you. filled with Him. To be filled with Him not only would be exciting, but I think it would be a little bit intimidating, because now you're going to have to follow Jesus. And we saw what happened to Him. Not everybody's going to say three cheers for you. You're going to get the devil after you, and the world's going to resist you every turn, and your own self will fight against that. It's difficult. It's difficult to be filled with the Spirit, because if you're used to being filled with yourself, that's a change God can bring. And so a life of praise, a life of thanks, and then a life of serving. Submit to one another in love. That's part of that passage. And I'll tell you a quick story about a fella, real life story, worked for a company in Indianapolis. I'll introduce it that way. And he wanted to serve other people, okay, and be a leader in that. Now, he was on the upper echelon of the company. Everybody would know his name, and he pretty much, what happened with him affected everybody. He took time in his work. He heard that somebody at a college in Ohio was going to work for his company. So he would drive 3.5 hours twice a week to meet with the guy in Ohio to work with him to do well in the company that he was going to. Can you imagine that? And this guy hadn't even graduated from college yet. He's helping him for the future. He's saying, you know, I want to submit to serving so that this guy could be blessed. The fellow's name, if you're a sports guy, Peyton Manning did that. He's a quarterback in the National Football League. He drove from Indianapolis, Indiana to Ohio State, Columbus, 3.5 hours to work with this college guy who was going to maybe be on his team, named Anthony Gonzalez, and then back and then up again and back again, 14 hours on the road to help this young fella. To serve out of really respect for this other guy and to honor the Lord in some manner. So your life can look like that. Being filled with God, a life of praise, life of thanks, life of service. Don't get too fancy with God. Just follow Him. Okay. Don't get too super spiritual with Him. Just follow Him. It'll make a really, really big impact on people. One preacher said this: don't attempt anything without Him. Honor Him. Depend on Him. And he says, pray, Lord, I give my entire heart to You. And fill me with You moment by moment. Just take a step. I want God to direct it at this moment. Who knows? There's no reason why all of us in sincerity can't be filled with His Spirit right this morning. God can bring that about. He's more powerful than any resistance we have. And again, some of the results: praise and thanks, service, Christ front and center, like in the book of Acts. God's gracious to provide that for us. Could we just quietly respond to God this morning? You ask Him for fullness of Himself, so you're not beat on by these sin problems, and let Him introduce yourself to fellowship with Him. Lord, hear our silent prayers. We say, fill us with Yourself in a moment-by-moment way and produce the life of Jesus in us. Hear us, Lord, as we seek You about this.